Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا. And hold fast together to the rope of Allah and be not divided, and remember Allah's favor on you, for you were enemies but He joined your hearts together so that by His grace you became brothers. Looking across at this room, this brotherhood is evident. I see people of all colors, white, yellow, brown, and black, speaking many different languages and from different parts of the world. Some born here while others left their tormented homelands. The common thread that links them all here with their brothers abroad is Iman. But this Iman did not teach us to escape the corruption both here and abroad and isolate ourselves. Rather, it demands of us to propagate this deen and change our condition in accordance with our beliefs. La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. It is what unites us all, and it is what has brought us here today. But we fail to reap the benefit of these words because La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah was not intended only for testification, but it was also meant for application. These words are the basis to unify our hearts in our minds so that we can correctly apply them in our lives. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah elevates man from being a slave to his own desires and to others, and to being a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator. It defines the relationship between creation and the Creator with all other creations. It raises man above man-made identities and immediately puts him into the ranks of believers. So allow me to remind you of what this unity looks like. Before the Battle of Yarmouk began, a Byzantine general by the name of George approached Khalid bin Walid to a duel. The Roman general did not draw his sword, but rather he asked Khalid bin Walid, "To what do you call? To what do you call?" Khalid replied, "To bear witness that there is none to be worshipped but Allah, and Muhammad is his slave and messenger, and to believe in what he has brought from Allah." George then asked, "What is the position of one who enters your creed today?" Khalid replied, "In our creed, there's only one position. All are equal." "Yes, all are equal." General George understood this and no longer wanted to be a slave to men. He no longer wanted to be a slave to king, nobility, and desires. Equality meant being equal in status, rights, and opportunities. So he quickly testified to La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, and instantly became a soldier of the Khilafah, and had a bay'ah to Umar ibn al-Khattab on his neck, and was spreading the justice of Islam into the heart of Levant. He fought heroically the same men he a short while ago led. And hours later, gained martyrdom, and inshallah was raised to the highest of ranks. These words caused George the Roman and Khalid the Arab to fight side by side to see that this deen be made supreme. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And He has united the believers' hearts. If you had spent all that is in the earth, you could not have united their hearts. But Allah has united them. This is the power of La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. A testification that once uttered joins you into the fold of belief. This declaration is the purpose behind creation, and only this declaration is capable of successfully uniting man. The unity, this unity stems from the belief that humanity will be brought forth before Allah as believers and disbelievers, not as Arab Americans and Muslim Americans, nor as blacks and whites. This unity stems from the obligation to Allah to unite under the banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah and to live in accordance to His Sharia. This unity should be manifest in all our affairs, from our economic, social, and to our political affairs. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, إِذَا بُوِعَ لِخَلِيفَتَيْنِ فَاقْتُلُوا الْآخِرَ مِنْهُمَا. If a bay'ah is given to two caliphs, then kill the latter of them. He also went on to say, مَنْ آتَاكُمْ وَأَمْرُكُمْ جَمِيعٌ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَشِقَّ عَصَاكُمْ أَوْ يُفَرِّقَ جَمَاعَتَكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوهُ. He who comes to you while your affairs have been united under one man, intending to divide you, kill him. This is how important our political unity is. It isn't up for negotiation. It is an obligation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unity in Islam is not based on color, language. It is based on uniting under one khalifa. It means although we may be different in our color, schools of thought, in our languages, we are all united by La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. And we are all to be united under one khalifa that implements this creed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated unity not for the sake of unity, but because it is a pillar to implement this deen in its totality. Islam has made the unity of the Muslim ummah and the unity of the Islamic state one of the most vital issues, an issue of life and death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And do not divide and fail, and then your strength would depart. And that is why in the wake of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when some of the Muslims said, let there be an emir from amongst us, an emir from amongst you, Abu Bakr replied, it is forbidden for Muslims to have two rulers. This would cause differences in their affairs and concepts. Their unity would be divided and disputes would break out amongst them. The Sunnah would then be abandoned and innovations in the deen would spread. Trials would grow, and that is in no one's interest. What would you say, O Abu Bakr, if you knew that today we have no leadership over all Muslims? The laws of Islam are not implemented. We are unable to convey the message of Islam to the rest of the world. And we are now witness to disputes, innovations, absence of the Sharia, and trials. The only interests being served are that of the kuffar. In Burma, our children had been stabbed with knives, cut into small pieces, and fed to dogs. In Syria, our sisters have been beaten with cables and raped in front of their fathers and husbands. And in Central Africa, our brothers were gunned down, set ablaze, and in some cases cannibalized. We cannot forget Iraq, Afghanistan, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Palestine, and other places where Muslims are suffering. Did Allah not warn us? Did Allah not warn us when He said, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يُرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنْ اسْتَطَاعُوا. They will continue to fight you until they turn you back from your religion. They fight you. They fight you away from your deen because it is the source of your strength. Our strength is clearly not the result of our riches and armies, but rather it is the result of adhering to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein He says, وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, and prepare against them all that you can of might. Might here is not limited to military might, but also includes industrial, medical, educational, and urban infrastructure and justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed Muslim lands with oil, gas, precious metals, minerals, and other key resources for industrial dominance. 70% of the world's natural resources lie on Muslim lands. However, these resources are extracted from Muslim lands and sent to other nations so they can produce goods for us. Yet we have no industry. We have no technology. We have high unemployment and humiliating poverty. Our children go hungry, cold, and sick so that our puppet rulers may feed their Western masters. Only the Khilafah can ensure that the natural resources of Muslim lands will benefit the citizens of the Islamic State. If the Khilafah were established today, connecting all Muslim lands, it would have the largest population of any nation in the world. It would have the largest landmass, land stretching from Senegal to Xinjiang. It would control key naval straits and strategic trade routes. If 50 plus armed forces were combined, we would have the largest military in the world. Instead, the Ummah's division has allowed Muslim soldiers to be rented and shipped across the globe to protect Western interests, while our armies sit idle watching as Muslims in Syria are dying. While unarmed teenage girls leave their homes in Denmark and Australia to save Muslim blood and honor. مَالَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ? How is it that you judge? What we have available to us will not establish us only as a superpower, but rather as the only power and protector of humanity. O Ummah of Islam, did the Prophet not say, the example of the believers in their mutual love and mercy is the example of a body. If one part feels pain, then all of it is affected by sickness and fever. I ask, do you feel pain? Do you feel pain? You should be in a constant state of pain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are one body. إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Indeed, this ummah of yours is a single ummah. The subcontinent is our hearts. Bilad al-Sham, our hands. The Arabian Peninsula, our legs. And Africa, our blood. But we are headless without our khilafah. Death befell us the moment we allowed for Palestine to become a Palestinian issue, Kashmir a Kashmiri issue, and Syria a Syrian issue. These identities were created for us by the West to make easy our slaughter and the stealing of our riches. This is an age-old strategy of divide and conquer. But our Prophet, peace be upon him, has taught us differently. He united Bilal from Ethiopia, Salman from Persia, and Umar from Arabia with Islam. The generations that followed united the red, white, and brown with none other than the comprehensive implementation of Islam. This unity remained as long as our Khilafah was standing. Listen to what Abdul Hamid, our Khalifa Abdul Hamid, said in regards to Palestine. Palestine, in fact, belongs to the Ummah. My people have fought with their blood and sweat to protect this land. Let the Jews keep their millions, and if the Khilafah is torn apart one day, then they can take Palestine without a price. To have a dagger cut my body is less painful than to witness Palestine being detached from the Khilafah. As a result of the absence of our Khilafah, not only have they taken Palestine, but they also have taken every inch of land nourished with the blood of our Sahaba, Tabi'een, and later Mujahideen. How will we answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wherein He says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أُخْوَةً. Verily the believers are brothers. Now close your eyes. Close your eyes for a moment. And envision this brotherhood. Envision our soldiers from across the globe marching to the command of our Khalifa. Envision our abundant wealth being used for our advancement. Envision our great minds joining together to serve the Khilafah. Imagine roaming Muslim lands for days without checkpoints and visas. Anywhere you rest your head is home. This is why they plot and spend to divide our ranks. Western think tanks have surrendered to the fact that we will soon unite. In a recent address at the Heritage Foundation, Peter Lavoy, head of CIA East Asia, said, in a recent identity survey given to soldiers of the Pakistani army, they were asked, "Aap kya ho?" Who are you? And the overwhelming majority answered Muslim. They did not say Punjabi, Balochi, Sindhi, or Pashtun. They answered Muslim. This sent shockwaves through policy centers of the West. Nationalism and tribalism have failed. Soldiers join so that one day they may share in the honor of liberating Kashmir. And inshallah, Al-Quds as well. Syria is another example. It has left the West bewildered. The Raya of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quickly graced the skies. Sharia, Sharia, Sharia. And after liberating Syria, then Palestine. These Western-made borders will easily disappear because they have disappeared from our minds. This understanding is the result of an aqidah the ummah naturally accepts and desperately clings to. Never did this ummah abandon its Islam, and now we have the ability to reverse our condition. Look at our past. When Muslims went from Hijaz, Yemen, and Iraq to liberate India and Spain, the natives of the lands liberated soon joined in spreading the domain of Islam even further. That is because Muslims came as liberators, never as occupiers. Later in our history, Nur ad-Din Zinki and Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, a Seljuk and a Kurd, rushed forth to lead and unite Muslims from North Africa, Arabia, and Central Asia to liberate Al-Quds. This ummah is only capable of liberating itself as an ummah. It requires the same process of unity fostered by Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi and before him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must cure ourselves from the AIDS of division spread by Lawrence, Mustafa Kemal, and their collaborators. This ummah needs men, the like seen in Saif ad-Din Qutuz. When the tyrant of his time, Helago, sent him a letter so that he may surrender and abandon jihad, telling him, "Your prayers to God will not avail against us. We are not moved by tears, nor touched by laminations. Only those who beg our protection will be safe. Hasten your reply before the fire of war is kindled. Resist and you will suffer the most terrible catastrophes. We will shatter your mosques and reveal the weakness of your God. And then we will kill your children and your old men together." Sounds a lot similar. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? But Saif ad-Din Qutuz said to his troops, "To submit would be an act of cowardice and treachery. If no one else will come, I will go and fight alone." These are the words a correct understanding of La ilaha illallah produces. This is the sacrifice of one who understood his status as a protector of this earth. Eventually, Muslims from Egypt and the Levant united under the leadership of a believer from Khorasani lineage and defeated the Mongols forever. This scenario was only possible when Islam was the unifying bond. Only the aqidah of Islam has the ability to produce men that move mountains and continents to protect this deen and this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, aminu." O you who believe, believe. Believe, we have never had a more fertile ground. Unity is easier than ever before. Khilafah will sweep the world clean of injustice. This ummah no longer wants Western watchdogs. This ummah awaits lions. We have thousands of men and women capable of being the next Qaqa' bin Amr, Nur ad-Din Zinki, and Khawla bint al-Azwar. We have many minds capable of becoming the next Zubaydah, Khawarizmi, and Tabari. The ummah no longer wants to starve to death while the West grows obese off of our bounties. The Ummah wants to grow, build, and defend this earth as Muslims and with Islam. All that remains is the Khilafah, the real unity this Ummah of Muhammad works for and eagerly awaits. Islam prohibits fragmentation of the Muslim Ummah. It is forbidden upon the Ummah to be divided into more than one political entity. Muslims must only have one body. After all, our war is one, our blood is one, our honor is one, and our Khilafah is one. This is the true meaning of unity. We must rise above the colonial divides and unite this Ummah once again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You are the best nation brought forth to mankind. You command the right and forbid the wrong and believe in Allah. Only as Muslims and under Islam are we capable of being the best nation. We have the resources, strength, numbers, and location, and most importantly, we have Allah and His Messenger. So do we wish to be the best once again? Do we wish to be the best once again?
Yes.
Then let us work. Let us work wherever we are to see that this deen be made supreme. We must proclaim our desire to be united, our desire to see our deen established, our desire to have a state that manifests our brotherhood. Let us continue to work until fighter jets leaving Karachi refuel in Asqalan on their way to Al-Andalus. Let us continue to work until our tanks leave Ribat unhindered and park in Gaza. Let us continue to work until millions of non-Muslims call upon the Khilafah to liberate it from the clutches of the oppressive systems that they are under. Let us continue to work, dear brothers and sisters. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ اعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Work so that Allah will see your work and His Messenger and the believers and to the disbelievers and dividers. We say, Allahu Mawlana, wala Mawla lakum. Allah is our protector and you have no protection. Astaghfirullah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.